When the Lord Ruler offered his plan to his ferrochemist friends, the plan to change them into mistwraiths, he was making them speak on behalf of all the land's ferrochemists. Though he changed his friends into Chandra to restore their minds and memories, the rest he left as non-sentient mistwraiths. These bred more of their kind, living and dying, becoming a race unto themselves. From these children of the original mistwraiths, he made the next generations of Chandra. However, even gods can make mistakes, I have learned. Rashik, the Lord Ruler, thought to transform all of the living ferrochemists into mistwraiths. However, he did not think of the genetic heritage left in the other Terrace people, whom he left alive. So it was that ferrochemists continued being born, if only rarely. This oversight cost him much, but gained the world so much more. 68. Sazed walked in wonder, led by his guards. He saw Chandra after Chandra, each one with a more interesting body than the one before. Some were tall and willowy, with bones made of white wood. Others were stocky, with bones thicker than any human's. All stuck generally to human body shapes, however. They used to be human, he reminded himself. Or at least their ancestors were. The caverns around him felt old. The pathways were worn smooth, and while there were no real buildings, he passed many smaller caverns, varied drapery hanging in front of their openings. There was a sense of exquisite craftsmanship to it all, from the carved poles that held the fungus lights to the very bones of the people around him. It wasn't the detailed ornamentation of a nobleman's keep, for there were no patterns, leaves, or knots carved into the stonework or bones. Instead, things were polished smooth, carved with rounded sides or woven in broad lines and shapes. The Chandra seemed afraid of him. It was a strange experience for Sazed. He had been many things in his life, rebel, servant, friend, scholar. However, never before had he found himself an object of fear. Chandra ducked around corners, peeking at him. Others stood in shock, watching him pass. Obviously, news of his arrival had spread quickly, otherwise they would have just assumed him to be a Chandra wearing human bones. His guards led him to a steel door set into a large cavern wall. One of them moved inside, while the other guarded Sazed. Sazed noticed shards of metal twinkling in the Chandra's shoulders. They appeared to be spikes, one in each shoulder. Smaller than Inquisitor spikes, Sazed thought, but still very effective. Interesting. What would you do if I were to run? Sazed asked. The Chandra started. Can I assume from your hesitance that you are still forbidden to harm, or at least kill, a human? Sazed asked. We follow the first contract.
Ah, Sazed said. Very interesting. And with whom did you make the first contract?
The father.
The Lord Ruler, Sazed asked.
The Chandra nodded.
He is, unfortunately and truly, dead. So is your contract no longer valid?
I don't know, the Chandra said, looking away.
So, Sazed thought, not all of them are as forceful of personality as Tensun. Even when he was playing the part of a simple wolfhound, I found him to be intense.
The other soldier returned. Come with me, he said. They led Sazed through the open metal doors. The room beyond had a large metal pedestal a few feet high. The guards did not step on it, but led Sazed around it toward a place before a group of stone lecterns. Many of the lecterns were empty, though Chandra with twinkling bones stood behind two of them. These creatures were tall, or at least they used tall bones, and very fine-featured. Aristocrats, Sazed thought.
He had found that class of people very easy to identify, no matter what the culture or, apparently, species. Sazed's guards gestured for him to stand before the lecterns. Sazed ignored the gestures, walking in a circle around the room. As he had expected, his guards didn't know what to do. They followed, but refrained from putting their hands on him. "There is metal plating surrounding the entire chamber," Sazed noted. "Is it ornamental, or does it serve a function?"
"We will be asking the questions here, Tarasman," said one of the aristocratic Chandra.
Sazed paused, turning. "No," he said. "No, you will not. I am Sazed, Keeper of Terrace. However, among your people I have another name. Holy Announcer." The other Chandra leader snorted.
"What does an outsider know of such things?"
"An outsider?" Sazed asked. "You should better learn your own doctrine, I think." He began to walk forward. "I am Taris, as are you. Yes, I know your origins. I know how you were created. And I know the heritage you bring with you." He stopped before their lecterns. "I announce to you that I have discovered the hero. I have lived with her, worked with her, and watched her. I handed her the very spear she used to slay the Lord Ruler. I have seen her take command of kings, watched her overcome armies of both men and Kolos. I have come to announce this to you, so that you may prepare yourselves." He paused, eyeing them. "For the end is here," he added. The two Chandra stood quietly for a few moments.
"Go get the others," one finally said, his voice shaking.
Sazed smiled. As one of the guards ran off, Sazed turned to face down the second soldier. "I shall require a table and chair, please. Also something with which to write." A few minutes later, all was ready. His Chandra attendants had swelled from 4 to over 20, 12 of them being the aristocratic ones with the twinkling bones. Some attendants had set up a small table for Sazed, and he seated himself as the Chandra nobles spoke together in anxious whispers. Carefully, Sazed placed his pack on the table and began to remove his metal mines. Small rings, smaller earrings and studs, and large bracers soon lined the table. He pushed up his sleeves, then clasped on his copper mines. 2 large bracers on the upper arms, 2 more bracers on the forearms. Finally, he removed his tome from the pack and set it on the table. Some Chandra approached with thin plates of metal. Sazed watched curiously as they arranged them for him, along with what appeared to be a steel pen capable of making indentations in the soft writing metal. The Chandra servants bowed and withdrew. "Excellent," Sazed thought, picking up the metal pen and clearing his throat. The Chandra leaders turned toward him. "I assume," Sazed said, "that you are the first generation?"
"We are the second generation, Tarasman," one of the Chandra said.
"Well, I apologize for taking your time then. Where can I find your superiors?" The lead Chandra snorted.
"Do not think you have quelled us just because you were able to draw us together. I see no reason for you to speak with the first generation, even if you can blaspheme quite accurately."
Sazed raised an eyebrow. "Blaspheme?"
"You are not the announcer," the Chandra said. "This is not the end."
"Have you seen the ash up above?" Sazed said. "Or has it stopped up the entrances to this cavern complex so soundly that nobody can escape to see that the world is falling apart?"
"We have lived a very long time, Tarasman," one of the other Chandra said. "We have seen periods where the ash fell more copiously than others."
"Oh?" Sazed asked. "And you have perhaps seen the Lord Ruler die before as well?" Some of the Chandra looked uncomfortable at this, though the one at the lead shook his head.
"Did Tensone send you?"
"He did," Sazed admitted.
You can make no arguments other than those he has already made, the Chandra said. Why would he think that you, an outsider, could persuade us when he could not?
Perhaps because he understood something about me, Sazed said, tapping his book with his pen. Are you aware of the ways of keepers, Chandra?
My name is Kanpa, the Chandra said, and yes, I understand what keepers do, or at least what they did before the father was killed.
Then, Sazed said, perhaps you know that every keeper has an area of specialty. The intention was that when the Lord Ruler finally did fall, we would already be divided into specialists who could teach our knowledge to the people.
Yes, Kanpar said.
Well, Sazed said, rubbing fingers over his book, my specialty was religion. Do you know how many religions there were before the Lord Ruler's ascension?
I don't know. Hundreds.
We have record of 563, Sazed said, though that includes sects of the same religions. In a more strict count, there were around 300.
And?
Kanpar asked. Do you know how many of these survived until this day? Sazed asked.
None.
One, Sazed said, holding up a finger. Yours. The Terrace religion. Do you think it a coincidence that the religion you follow not only still exists, but also foretells this exact day? Kanpar snorted.
You are saying nothing new. So my religion is real while others were lies. What does that explain?
That you should listen, perhaps, to members of your faith who bring you tidings. Sazed began to flip through his book. At the very least, I would think that you'd be interested in this book, as it contains the collected information about the Hero of Ages that I was able to discover. Since I knew little of the true Terrace religion, I had to get my information from second-hand accounts, from tales and stories, and from texts written during the intermediate time. Unfortunately, Sazed continued, much of this text was changed by Ruin when he was trying to persuade the hero to visit the Well of Ascension and set him free. Therefore it is quite well corrupted and tainted by his touch.
And why would I be interested? Kanpar asked. You just told me that your information is corrupt and useless.
Useless? Sazed asked.
No.
Not useless at all. Corrupt, yes. Changed by Ruin. My friend, I have a tome here filled with Ruin's lies. You have a mind filled with the original truths. Apart, we know very little. However, if we were to compare, discovering precisely which items Ruin changed, would it not tell us exactly what his plan is? At the very least, it would tell us what he didn't want us to focus on, I think. The room fell silent.
Well, Kanpar finally said, That will be enough, Kanpar, a voice said.
Sazed paused, cocking his head. The voice hadn't come from any of those beside the pedestals. Sazed glanced around the room, trying to discover who had spoken.
You may leave, seconds, another voice said.
One of the seconds gasped.
Leave? Leave you with this one, an outsider? A descendant,
one of the voices said.
A world bringer. We will hear him.
Leave us, said another voice.
Sazed raised an eyebrow, sitting as the second generationers, looking rattled, left their lecterns and quietly made their way from the room. A pair of guards pushed the doors shut, blocking the view of those Chandra who had been watching outside. Sazed was left alone in the room with the phantoms who had spoken. Sazed heard a scraping sound. It echoed through the steel-lined chamber, and then a door opened at the back of the room. From this came what he assumed was the first generation. They looked old. Their chondra flesh literally hung from their bodies, drooping, like translucent tree moss dripping from bone branches. They were stooped, seeming older than the other chondra he had seen, and they didn't walk so much as shuffle. They wore simple robes, with no sleeves, but the garments still looked odd on the creatures. In addition, beneath their translucent skin, he could see that they had white, normal skeletons.
"Human bones?" Sazed asked, as the elderly creatures made their way forward, walking with canes. "Our own bones," one of them said, speaking with a tired, near whisper of a voice. "We hadn't the skill or knowledge to form true bodies when this all began, and so took our original bones again, when the Lord Ruler gave them to us."
The first generation appeared to have only 10 members. They arranged themselves on the benches, and, out of respect, Sazed moved his table so that he was seated before them, like a presenter before an audience.
"Now," he said, raising his metal scratching pen, "let us begin. We have much work to do."